Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord this evening. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
God. So this evening, I'm going to conduct the program a little different today instead of bringing the message at 7 p.m., I will bring the message now. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, in weak moments, we may try to build ourselves up by placing ourselves ahead of others. But you want us to be humble servants to those who need our encouragement, our help, and our love. Tonight, we will do our best to follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, by serving others humbly, faithful, and lovingly. In Jesus' name. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Amen. And it says, Jesus heals a man's hand on the Sabbath. And it says, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they would not answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "How hold out your hand." Amen. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod how to kill Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Give me one second. To God be the glory. They went out to plot how to kill Jesus. Verse 7, Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles has spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so the crowd would not crush him.
He had healed many people that day. So all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. So the evil spirits knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but they had no intention of following him. People followed Jesus, but did not understand his true purpose for coming. Some people came for miracles. Some came to hear his teaching, but they did not understand the way of the cross. Knowing about Jesus, or even believing that he is God's son, does not guarantee salvation. You must also follow and obey him. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of your word, which is already blessed. Hallelujah. My title for this message is How's Your Heart? How is your heart? Amen? Praise God. The earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus was surrounded by disagreement. Controversy swerved around everything the Lord Jesus did. It seemed that everything Jesus did made the religious Jews angry. Every word and every work was placed under the microscope of their judgmental attitudes. Their hatred of Jesus eventually resulted in his death on the cross. So let me say this just as a reminder. They are mad because he forgave a man's sins in verses 6 in 2 Mark 2, 6 through 7. Ate a meal with sinners in Mark 2 and 16. Refused to honor their rituals, Mark 2 and 18. And because he allowed his disciples to pick and eat grain on the Sabbath, Mark 2 and 24. Jesus refused to play ball by their rules, and they despised him for it. Now, the passage once again finds Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath. This visit to the synagogue probably occurred on the same day that Jesus and his men passed through the wheat fields and had their confrontation with the Jews. In Mark 2, 23 through 28. Now this passage is a continuation of the same controversy that we looked at last time. The Pharisees had followed Jesus to the synagogue. They are looking for some way to trap him, to discredit him and destroy his ministry. In fact, as we will see here, they will stop at nothing to see that happen. As we study this text, we will see three different types of hearts on display. Amen? Now, as we move through these verses tonight, I want you to examine your own heart as I share the hearts revealed in this text. I want you to answer this question: how is your heart? Amen? It may be that the Lord will allow you to see your own heart today. If he does, and there are problems, you can come to him and he will fix whatever may be wrong in your life. Let's notice the hearts that are on display in these verses. So let's see if we can encounter ourselves in these verses. But more importantly, let's see if we can encounter Jesus. Amen? I want to preach on the subject, how is your heart? Now, the hard heart of the Pharisees. So right now we're going to talk a little bit about the heart of the Pharisees. Now in verse 1 through 2, their plan, which was the plans of the Pharisees, we are told that there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, the word withered means it was paralyzed. He had no feelings in it. It was, you know, droopy and whatever. Ancient Christians, tradition tells us that this man was a stone mason who had injured his hand on the job in an accident. So as the story goes, he heard that Jesus was in town, and he came to seek healing from the Lord. Others speculate that this fellow is actually a plant by who? The Pharisees. Now, some people believe that this man was placed in the congregation by the Pharisees in an effort to trap Jesus. Mm-mm. I feel that this view is in line with the flow of the text. The most likely scenario is that they found this man and said something like this: so we hear you have injured your hand. Boy, that sure looks painful. Well, come with us to the synagogue. That fellow, Jesus, will be there tonight. He can heal you. No. If you go with us, there is a good chance that he will heal your hand. Wouldn't you like that? Come on. Go with us. Either they had planted this man or they had spotted him in the crowd. Either way, they are watching Jesus to see what he will do. They are still smarting from their encounter with the Lord in the wheat field. They wanted to find evidence against him that he is a lawbreaker. They are looking for any excuse to put an end to his ministry and his life. Now, verse 5 tells us about their problem. So Jesus knows what they are doing. So he calls for the injured man to stand forth. Then Jesus asked a very simple question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil to save life or to kill? They have no answer for Jesus, because any answer they might have given would have contradicted their own teachings. Praise be to God. Now the problem with these men and with people like them today is that they could have cared less about the needs of a poor, injured man. They didn't care about him. They only wanted to get Jesus into a contradiction with them. All they cared about was their rules and their ways. Jesus knows their problem. Now, Mark tells us that they suffered from hardness of the heart. Now, these men had been confronted with truth many times, and they continually rejected that truth. And as a result, their hearts became hard. The word for hardness is the word proros. It was the name of a type of marble used in the ancient world. Jesus knew that their hearts were as hard, as unyielding as a piece of marble. Now, the word eventually came to be used of something covered with a callus. Amen? So the continual rubbing of the skin will produce calluses. In the same way, continued rejection of the truth will cause the heart to become spiritually callous. The calloused heart will get to the place where it will not hear the voice of the Lord. The calloused heart will not respond to the call of the Lord. Now, verse 6 tells us about their plot. Now, when Jesus healed this man, they were outraged. They considered this healing to be work. But in reality, all the man did was stretch out his hand. There was no work involved, and there was no violation of the Mosaic law. But truth doesn't matter to people like the Pharisees. All that mattered to them was their narrow interpretation of things. Praise be to God. So they left that meeting and immediately sought out the Herodians. The Herodians were secular Jews who supported the government of Herod the king. They also believed, like the Sadducees, that they, Jews, had a duty to submit to Roman rule. Now, these people were secularists. who had little concern for religious matters. They liked the changes the Romans had brought about in Israel. Like the Pharisees, they did not like Jesus because they saw him as a threat to the peace and stability of the nation. Mm-mm-mm. Now, the Pharisees and the Herodians were bitter enemies, but they were on the opposite side of every issue. But they found common ground in their hatred of the Lord Jesus. So they formed a plot to find a way to destroy him. The word destroy means to utterly do away with a person or thing. They wanted Jesus dead, and they set out to accomplish that end. There is a bit of irony in this story, as well as a lot of hypocrisy. Now, these men are upset because Jesus dared to heal a man on the Sabbath. But they have no problem plotting murder on that day. That is evidence of the hardness of their hearts. Callous around their hearts had caused them to become calloused toward God and men. That is a dangerous place to be. Now, before we leave this matter of a hard heart behind, some very serious thoughts need to be considered. Amen? Number one, if you have never been saved, there is a danger that your heart might become hardened against the gospel. 4:1-3. Amen? Read it when you get the time. 2 Timothy 4:1-3. Now, every time you say no to God, your heart becomes more callous. After a while, the gospel message will cease to speak to your heart. Sam C., he rejected the gospel until there was no more concern in him for his own soul. If the Lord is calling you to come to Jesus, come while you can. Dear, hear his voice. Come while your heart is tender. Come while you still can. Isaiah 55:6. 2 Corinthians 6:2. We teach our children to say no to drugs, to alcohol, to premarital sex, and other sinful activities. That is a good practice. But the more you say no to something, the easier it is to keep on saying no to it. But when we begin to say no to God, we are headed trouble. Saying no to evil things breeds resistance to evil. Saying no to spiritual things breeds resistance to spiritual things. it becomes easier and easier to ignore the voice of the Lord as he calls you to come to him. So if you are saved, can become hard too. Not just the unsaved. Saved people's hearts become hardened too. You can get to the place where you refuse to listen to the voice of the Spirit. This is called grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 and 30. When you refuse to listen to the Lord, you will lose your sensitivity to him and to his ways. We ought to strive to maintain a tender heart toward the Lord. The way to do that is to live close and clean. When he speaks either in his word or in his still small voice, you do exactly what he says to do. Without hesitation or delay, when we refuse to listen and to obey, we cause our hearts to become callous. A callous is really just scar tissue. Scar tissue is insensitive to feeling. When a heart becomes calloused, it loses its sensitivity to the Lord. Now we who are saved must never reach the place where we lose our compassion for those who need the Lord. It is so easy to become like the Pharisees in our thinking. Far too many Christians get to the place where they are just happy to be saved. They seem to forget that there was a time when they too needed the Lord. They forget that there are multitudes around us who need a Savior. As believers, we need a constant reality check. We must keep our own salvation experience fresh in our hearts so that we do not develop a callous heart. Praise the holy heart of the Savior. The holy heart of the Savior stands out in striking contrast to the hard hearts of the Pharisees. Let's see his heart in action. Verse 3 tells us his command. Now Jesus knows what they are up to. He knows that this whole thing is designed as a trap to ensnare him. But Jesus also knows that this man needs healing. And Jesus is determined to do the right thing regardless of personal cost. So he tells the man, stand forth. Jesus calls him to come and stand before the whole crowd. What he is about to do will not be done in a corner. Jesus wanted everyone present to see the power of God at work. Praise be to God. So by the way, that is his intention in your life and mine. Now, whether he calls you to come to him for salvation or if you are walking with him day by day, he wants to use your life to display the glory of God. Amen? Now, when the Lord saves a soul, he does so for his own glory. He expects that saved person to stand forth and give testimony to the work of God in their hearts. Romans 10, 9 through 10. Now, if you are saved, the Lord is determined to use your life for his glory. You are a walking advertisement to the power of God to change lives and make lost people into new creatures for the glory of God. Ephesians 2 and 10, Philippians 1 and 27. He wants you to stand forth and show a lost world what he can do through Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 4 also tells us about his confrontation. Jesus confronts the obvious hypocrisy of the Pharisees by asking them two simple, straightforward questions. Is it lawful to good or evil on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save a life or to take a life? Now, William Barclay gives us some insight into the mindset of the Jews regarding medical treatment on the Sabbath. Now, the medical treatment that the Jews do not want or want to be done on the Sabbath is medical attention could be given only if a life was in danger. To take some example of a woman in childbirth might be helped on the Sabbath. An infection of the throat might be treated. If a wall fell on anyone, enough might be cleared away to see whether he was dead or alive. If he was alive, he might be helped. If he was dead, the body must be left until the next day. A fracture could not be attended to. Cold water might not be poured on a sprained hand or foot. A cut finger might be bandaged with a plain bandage, but not with ointment. That is to say, at the most, an injury could be kept from getting worse. It must not be made better. So the man Jesus is facing would have been no worse off to have waited until the next day for healing. But for the Lord, this was an opportunity to address the hypocrisy of their belief system. And I also happen to believe that calling the man to the front of the crowd and asking these questions was all an effort to awaken sympathy in the hearts of the Pharisees. Jesus was using this moment to try and touch their hearts. But his effort failed. Now, verse 5 tells us his consternation. When they refused to answer his questions, Jesus became angry. The word angry comes from a word that was used to describe sapping in a tree. It is the ideal of anger that builds and builds until there is a release of emotion. The longer Jesus sat in that service with the hard-hearted Pharisees, the angrier he became. This is only explicit reference to his anger in the gospel. There is nothing wrong with anger as long as you are angry over the right things in the right amount and in the right way. Some righteous anger against sin and evil would serve the church well, indeed, political correct. Anything goes days. What was it that made Jesus so angry? Two things. First, he is angry because their hearts are hard. They have continually refused to acknowledge the power and presence of God, and he is offended. Secondly, he is angry because they have more concern for their man-made rules than they do for a man who needs help. Amen? That's being very selfish. Now, we are also told that he was grieved. Now, this word means to feel pain or sorrow. Their attitude toward their fellow man broke the Savior's heart, and it made him angry. I would venture to say that it still grieves our Lord and makes him angry when people refuse to hear the truth and do what is right. Look at your own life right now. Does the Lord have reason to be grieved with you? Are you turning a deaf ear to the truth? Do you refuse to hear his voice? Have you allowed your heart to become callous toward the needs of others? Does it bother you that people are headed to hell? Do you care that your fellowship with the Lord is not what it ought to be? Does it bother you to know that your own heart is growing harder by the day? He wants to help you, but he cannot until you hear his voice and heed what he tells you. Verse 5 also tells us about his compassion. Now, in spite of their attempt to trap him, Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand. And when he did, it was healed. In spite of his anger at their hypocrisy, Jesus still had compassion on the man with the withered hand. Jesus did not come to this world to get caught up in religious debates over the keeping of man-made rules. Jesus came to this world to extend compassion to those who needed help. This poor man could not solve his problem, but Jesus could, and he did.
I was in the same shape. One day, I did not have a withered hand, but I had a withered soul. I was dead towards God and spiritually paralyzed. Jesus moved in compassion and brought life to my soul. Thank God that he loved me when I was unlovable and that he was willing to save me by his grace in spite of what I was. Don't let a few religious hypocrisies keep you from coming to Jesus. He loves you in spite of what a few foolish people do or say. If you will come to him, he will forgive your sins, save your soul, and prepare you a home in heaven. And that is what you really want. Amen. The hopeful heart of the needy. Now, we have seen the hard heart of the Pharisees, and we have seen the holy heart of the Savior. In the remaining verses of our text, we see the hopeful hearts of the multitude. Jesus has just been officially rejected by the religious leaders. However, there is a great multitude of people that see in Jesus the answers to their prayers and the fulfillment of their hopes and dreams in verses 7 through 9. Let's look at their hearts before we close tonight. Now, verse 10, what they saw in Jesus. The people saw what he had done for others and believed by faith that he could do the same for them. When the Pharisees looked at Jesus, they saw a rebel. They saw a man who was trying to overthrow their position and take away their power. When the common man looked at Jesus, he saw a healer, a savior, and the Messiah. The average man saw all the promises and pain and plans of God fulfilled in Jesus. Verse 10 also says what they sought from Jesus. These great multitudes pressed upon him because they wanted to experience his healing power. They wanted his power to be unleashed in their lives. These people were looking for life change, and they saw the potential for that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 8 and 11 says what they said about Jesus. Now, while the religious leaders were plotting to kill Jesus, the common man was spreading the word about him. Everywhere across the nation of Israel, the people were talking about the man from Galilee. Even the evil spirits were talking about Jesus. Jesus rebuked the demons for two reasons. First, Jesus refused to allow the devil to determine the movement and timing of his ministry. And second, he did not want to be identified with evil spirits. Amen? So here is the point. Uneducated, common people, and even demons had more sense than the religious leaders of the day. They saw Jesus as a threat. The average person saw Jesus as one who offered them hope. Hallelujah. What do you need in your life today? Do you need salvation? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need a fresh start? Do you need cleansing from sin? Do you need help in some areas of your life? What do you need? What do you see when you look at Jesus? Do you see a poor fella who forgot himself who got himself crucified on a cross? Do you see a man with strange ideas who went around preaching love and doing good? Or do you see the Savior? Do you see a man who died for your sins and who caused you to come to him for the help you need? Do you see in Jesus the hope and the help of your soul? Praise be to God. And if you can see and acknowledge that you have needs in your life today, you are in a position to receive help. If you can see that Jesus is ready and able to help you, you are just a prayer away from the very help you need. The Pharisees could not see their own needs, so they received no help. They could not understand that Jesus was the Messiah and that he could have changed their lives if only they would have come to him. They had less sense that the demons. James 2 and 19. What about you? Is your heart needy? Are you ready? Come to Jesus and get the help you need. Then tarry no longer. Come to him and allow him the opportunity to change your life forever. Amen? Praise God. A.W. Tozer used to tell the story of the governor of a Midwestern state who disguised himself and went into prison for a day to learn of the conditions. While speaking with a likable young convict, he felt a strong desire to pardon him. "What would you do," he asked casually, "if the governor were to offer you a pardon?" Well, the young convict said, "The first thing I would do is to cut the throat of the judge who sent me here." The governor was saddened as he broke off the conversation and left. That convict stayed in his cell. What was his problem? He had been convicted, but he had allowed his heart to become hard. He could not be helped because of a hard heart. What is the Lord telling you tonight? Is he calling you to come to Jesus Christ to be saved? If so, then come and do not harden your heart. Is he calling you to repent of some sin and to turn back to Jesus? If so, then come and do not harden your heart. Is he calling you to be more like Jesus in your compassion toward the lost and needy? If so, then come and do not harden your heart. Regardless of what he is calling you to do, you come and do it. Harden your heart against the call of God. It's a serious matter. You will reach a place where you no longer can hear him calling. Again, 2 Timothy 4:1-3. You will reach a place where he will abandon you to your decision. Pharaoh. Romans 9:17-18. You will reach a place where the Lord will allow you to go your own way. Is he calling you? Heed his voice and do whatever it is that he is calling you to do. Do it today. Do it right now. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was unto me. Amen. Praise God. So if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Amen. Father God, I know Jesus. Praise God, praise God. All right. Here we go. Again, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the body of Christ. And all you need to do after that is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise God. And my benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24:25. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, and in the present and beyond all times. Let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And you have been listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I came with a word, but I brought the word in the first hour of our program this evening. So I kind of switched it around. Amen. So now at this time, I will play a selection. Praise God.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can.
Where you start, I am the one. moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be.
Ooh. I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am.
Praise God. Dear Lord, we have heard your word, and we have felt your presence in our heart. Let us act accordingly. Let our words and deeds serve as a testimony to the changes you have made in our life. Let us praise you, Father, by following in the footsteps of your Son, and let others see him through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James 5:16: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Dear Lord, tonight I will choose to please you and only you. I will obey your commandments and I will praise you for your gifts, for your love, and for your son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And it is now time for our devotional message for this evening, amen, which is entitled, Let Me Bless You with My Grace and Peace, amen. The scriptural reading for this message is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, and it says, But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? My second scripture reading is coming from Romans chapter 8. Verses 38 through 39, amen? And it says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is it, that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Again, the title is, Let Me Bless You with My Grace and Peace. Open your heart and mind to receive all that I have for you. Do not be ashamed of your emptiness. Instead, view it as the optimal condition for being filled with my peace. It is easy to touch up your outward appearances to look as if you have it all together. Your attempts to look good can fool most people, but I see straight through you. Into the depths of your being, there is no place for pretense in your relationship with me. Rejoice in the relief of being fully understood. Talk with me about your struggles and feelings of inadequacy. Little by little, I will transform your weakness into strength. Remember that your relationship with me is saturated in grace. Therefore, nothing that you do or don't do can separate you from my presence. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Amen.
And is able. The Bible says it's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. Oh, that my
Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of the power, he is able, yes, he is, yes, he is able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able. Sing unto them heavenly. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. Set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able. Able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Came to let you know. Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I tried it for myself, and I know that He's able to heal you now. Yes. Rest my head, but God is bigger. Hey, so I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible for God. He's
at your neighbor, tell him he's able.
Able.
Come on, say he's able.
Able. matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He is able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah, he is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise, somebody give him glory, give him worship. We worship you, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Dear Jesus, you are my Savior and my protector. You suffered on the cross for me, and I will give you honor and praise every day of my life. I will honor you with my words, my thoughts, and my prayers, and I will live according to your commandments, so that through me others might come to know your perfect love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go, use me and move me, yeah, from this place where I'm at, yeah, I need an answer, and you know all the facts, I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes, over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord. Yeah, take full control of me.
show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Turn on your words, I'm ready to stay. So I'm hearing your voice, in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. The title of this message is Practice What You Preach. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 27. Amen. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Listening and Doing is the title. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. And genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Oh, praise be to God. So may the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, doing, and always the hearing, reading, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. The text for this message is coming from James chapter 1, verse 22, and it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Amen. Again, the title is Practice What You Preach. The writer says, "I started reading the Bible to my sons when my youngest, Xavier, entered kindergarten. I would look for the teachable moments and share verses that would apply to our circumstances and encourage them to pray with me. Xavier memorized scripture without even trying. If we were in a predicament in which we needed wisdom, he had blurted out verses that cinched a light on God's truth. One day, I got angry and spoke harshly within his earshot. My son hugged me and said, 'Practice what you preach.' Mama, Xavier's gentle reminder echoes the wise counsel of James as he addressed Jewish believers in Jesus scattered in various countries, James 1 and 1, highlighting the various ways sin can interfere with our witness for Christ. James encouraged them to humbly accept the word planted in them in verse 21. By hearing but not obeying scripture, we are like people who look in the mirror and forget what we look like. Verses 23 to 24. Amen. We can lose sight of the privilege we have been given as image bearers made right with God through the blood of Christ. Believers in Jesus are commanded to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit changes us while empowering us to become better representatives and therefore messengers of the good news. As our loving obedience helps us reflect the light of God's truth and love wherever he sends us, we can point others to Jesus by practicing what we preach. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. In what ways have you struggled to obey scripture? In what ways have God transformed you? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Loving God, please make me more like you so I can use every opportunity you give me to share your love with others. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. praise God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection.
So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. You might be in despair, but the Word says anything you ask in Jesus' name will be given unto you. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Bananas.